Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. I am particularly touched this week by the stories of people who went through great difficulties to do what the Lord wanted them to do. We have it everywhere, but it just has struck me particularly this week. And today we celebrate the feast of Saint Agatha. And she was reputed to have endured a torture by hot coals. And so she is invoked against damage by fire. And more recently, the tradition that Agatha's breasts were savagely cut off by her oppressors has made her a favorite saint of those suffering from breast cancer. As Saint Methodius wrote, she achieved renown in the early church for her noble victory. She is well known now as well, for she continues to triumph through her miracles, which occurred daily and continue to bring glory to her name. I'm not talking about some kind of, magic is going on here. That's not my point. My point is that we do have saints who have gone before us, who know what our life is like, who've endured everything that we've endured and more. And brothers and sisters, they were faithful and they now pray for us. All the saints in heaven pray for us. They pray that we might safely come home to Him. So we're surrounded by prayer, but it's so good for the saints that you particularly know. It's so good to call on them. It's so good to ask them to pray for you. And only when we get to heaven, only when we die and we see Him, will we know the volume of people who supported us and prayed for us and stood by us. So let's take a look here at the first reading from the second book of Samuel. This is the feast of Saint Agatha. King David said to Joab and the leaders of the army who were with him, "Tour all the tribes in Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the people that I may know their number." Joab then reported to the king the number of people registered in Israel, 800,000 men fit for military service. In Judah, 500,000. We're talking about the men now. Afterward, however, David regretted having numbered the people and said to the Lord, "I have sinned grievously in what I have done. But now, Lord, forgive the guilt of your servant, for I have been very foolish." You know how much it is that we can trust in numbers, and we don't turn to the Lord first. Yes, numbers can help in many situations, but do we turn to the Lord first in our needs? So often, no. We try to see what we have humanly, and then we turn to the Lord. But really, our attitude should be to turn to the Lord first. He will show us. And then do what you think is right to do, but turn to the Lord first and ask His help. When David rose in the morning, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I offer you three alternatives. Choose one of them and I will inflict it on you." Gad then went to David to inform him. He asked, "Do you want a 3 years famine to come upon your land, or to flee from your enemy 3 months while he pursues you, or to have a 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what I must reply to him who sent me." David answered Gad, "I am in very serious difficulty. Let us fall by the hand of God, for He is most merciful. But let me not fall by the hand of man." Then David chose the pestilence. Now it was the time of the wheat harvest when the plague broke out among the people. The Lord then set a pestilence over Israel from morning until the time appointed, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. But when the angel stretched forth his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord regretted the calamity and said to the angel causing the destruction among the people, "Enough, now stay your hand." The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking the people, he said to the Lord, "It is I who have sinned. It is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong. But these are sheep. What have they done? Punish me and my kindred." Now that's an upright, outstanding leader who takes responsibility on himself for what he has done wrong. And the psalm tells us, "Lord, forgive the wrong I have done." God will forgive us whatever wrong we've done, whether it be in armies or whether it be within the confines of our own family. Lord, forgive the wrong I have done. Let us all make that prayer constant in our lives, because we're weak. We make mistakes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to admit them, because that helps us all to grow. We pray more for you and you pray more for me. I don't mean to go out and make some kind of public confession, but if you're responsible for something that has hurt another, take responsibility for it. You will be admired. Maybe not right at first, but you will be admired. Lord, forgive the wrong I have done. Blessed is he whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Bless the man to whom the Lord imputes not guilt, in whose spirit there is no guile. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. My guilt I cover not. I said, "I confess my faults to the Lord," and you took away the guilt of my sin. For this shall every faithful man pray to you in time of stress. Though deep waters overflow, they shall not reach him. You are my shelter. From distress you will preserve me. With glad cries of freedom, you will ring me round. What is it today in your life where you have done wrong? Don't ignore it. Look it straight in the face. What have you done wrong? Was it lying? Was it cheating? Was it stealing? Was it committing scandal by speaking against another without cause? Oh, brothers and sisters, right now in this, the middle of this, stop for a few minutes and take a look at your own life. Is there anyone you've snubbed? Anyone you've ignored? Anyone you've run away from? These are God's children. Yes, they may have done wrong, but they're God's children. And our part in that is to do what we can to help. It may simply be by prayer, but it's not by gossip. Gossip doesn't heal. Gossip doesn't restore. But friendship and kindness can help along the way. What in your circle of friends, is there anyone that you've ignored or snubbed or been angry with? Please, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean you say it doesn't matter. It does matter. But I forgive you. I forgive you by the grace that God gives me. I forgive you. You will be amazed at what happens in your life over time. Might take a year or two for you to see it unfold, but God will remember, and I want to encourage you, please, please do that. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Brothers and sisters, God could say that about us today. How many of us really have a daily living relationship with Christ? How many of us turn to him in times of great joy and in times of great sorrow? How many times do we look to him for advice? Or do we just take things in our own hands and then pray a rosary that night and hope that took care of it? We don't want to be doing that. We want to be a people, brothers and sisters, who turn to the Lord first, who seek Him first. If we need to repent, don't hesitate. We've all made mistakes, every one of us. I really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to candidly look at yourself. Am I supporting my friends, even when they've done wrong? Do I help them out of it? Do I encourage? Do I stand by? Am I known as a faithful friend? There's nothing like that, brothers and sisters. That's quite a gift. And God is the faithful friend, as well as being your Savior. He's the faithful friend. But humanly, He gives us many times people that we can trust and people who will help us and be honest with us as we are with them. Oh, brothers and sisters, please walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. Please don't. What God reveals is Himself. As a lover reveals himself to the beloved, God summons us to a love relationship, and this summons of love demands a response of our whole person in the whole of our being. Human life has no other meaning than to be a response to the God who calls us to love. That was written by Sister Ruth Burroughs, who's a cloister Carmelite sister in England. And she continues, "Faith covers every aspect of our relation to God in our early existence. From its beginning, which is the grace to accept Jesus of Nazareth as God's messenger, to that encounter with Him which must surely come if we are faithful, an encounter which means a going down with Him into death in order to rise with Him in perfect fulfillment when still in this world. I lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me." If the essence of the divine goal is an embrace of love, faith is the arms with which we enfold our beloved. How deep is your faith? How strong is your faith? What have you done to cultivate your faith? Brothers and sisters, come before the Lord and ask Him. Reading some of the lives of the saints, if your situation is such that you can do that, reading the lives of the saints is one way to be encouraged. Times are different, situations are different, but you can see the heart of it, that they were willing even to die out of love for Him. Brothers and sisters, let us together come before the Lord and say, "Lord, please increase my faith. Please strengthen me to follow You more. I want to be more like You. I want to do what You want me to do." He will not miss that kind of prayer. He will not turn away from your heart. He may be silent for a while, but keep asking Him, that He knows you're genuine, He knows it's sincere. You take that kind of prayer to the Lord, and you be faithful to it, and God will answer you. We need a faithful people today. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.